into One Nation, brought to you by Tony Bett, Andy Petrillo, Jordan Wilson. Oh, my word. Were you with us for that 10-hour marathon on Saturday? I hope you were, because I hope it was worth it. Started off with the Women's Friendly, Canada, Brazil. But, of course, it was the Canadian Premier League final. It was Forge hosting Cavalry. Forge looking to really just solidify we're a dynasty. Stop talking about if we're a dynasty. We're a dynasty. Fourth title. Cavalry, of course, was going for the double. Didn't happen. What is up with Forge and Cavalry? They just can't get over Forge. 2-1 was the final. But here's the thing. Scrap the 90 minutes, Jordan. We just needed to go straight to extra time. I mean, it was who didn't want to lose? Who didn't want to make the first mistake? It was a little in the first 90, but my word, was that the best CPL final you ever saw because of what happened in extra time?
It was. It was the best CPL final. Handsome twin, Jordan Watson, works for One Soccer. Cameraman said it was the best CPL game ever. And you know what? I think with the ending and the quality and how the goals are scored and all that transpired in the last 35, 40 minutes, you have to say it was the best, Andy. Ali Moussi's goal, right? I can watch that over and over again. He can't take a touch. He wraps it around, scores that, wraps it around Tristan Henry, who's the most athletic goalkeeper in the Canadian Premier League, in the 101st minute. Then you got Benny Badibanga, scores in the 105th plus two, right, with the corner, wraps that one far post. And then Tristan Borja, Olympico in the final, in extra time, in the 111th minute. Like, it was just so eventful. That last 30 minutes was everything it needed to be.
It was incredible because, yes, the drama, the extra time, the fact that it was a CPL final, all the storylines around it, which, you know, I also said. But I love the fact, too, Meyer Bevan didn't give up, right? Gets taken down. How many times do we also see players?
Very true. Good
it's
point.
Notorious, right? They stop. And then, you know, you lose the ball, goes the other way. He didn't give up. Give Meyer Bevan credit. He was down on his butt and just kept, you know, fighting for that ball. And to your point, Ali Moussi moves a little bit more central, gets the goal. And it was just incredible because it is heartbreaking. Tommy said it after the game to Christian Jack. He's like, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I'm gobsmacked. Because it did take two world-class goals to beat Cavalry. We can nitpick and we can get goalkeepers on here and say positioning should have been here, should have been there. Of course, we'll always talk about positioning. That is literally the position of the goalkeepers. We're always talking about a millimeter here and there. But at the end of the day, those were world-class goals. Benny coming on into this team, you know, signed in July, played in August. He solidified himself, you know, in this team to be able to do that. The Olympico by Tristan Borges, his story with Forge as well. CPL Player of the Year, year one, goes overseas, comes back, you know, fighting for minutes. It's a glorious goal. There's so much around it. But I guess, you know, the big question too, you know, with Forge, and I hate to go there, but I'm going to go there because we've waxed poetic about this game. We're already, you know, giving you the highlights here. I want to know what's next because that's where I go. I go into the off season. Both these teams are going to be in CONCACAF Champions Cup. The way Bobby reacted after the game, I thought he was going to cry on our show. This is a man that
definitely
doesn't
cried.
He doesn't show emotion. And there's just a part of me that wonders, like, what's next? We know he interviewed for the Toronto FC job. We know he was vocal, came right out and said, do I want to coach Canada? Yeah. What are you sensing with Bobby?
I'm sensing that he is ready. I work with you guys. I hang out with you, Trills. I don't know what happens in front offices and head offices, but he's ready. If you want to break down a manager in terms of tactics, I don't even like talking tactics with Bobby. Like, because he's just in a different universe, right? We talk about X's and O's. He's talking about zones and channels and all these things. He's ready in that respect. He makes great players better. That's what you want for someone who is coaching a country and who's probably our best generation, most talented generation coming in. You want him to make players that are already great, greater. He can do that. I think that he's ready to if he wanted to take that role, or if Canada wanted to go that route. I think he's a perfect person. I think he's immersed in the environment. He knows the talent in the GTA, in Canada. He's diligent. This is a guy, I think, for a season where Forge didn't do well, right? To still have a championship moment to end the season well. It all comes down to Bobby, the balance within the team. Also, even if I have to nitpick about the performance, Benny Badibanga didn't have the greatest game, gave the ball away a little bit, but he kept him on. He knows the climate, putting Dom Samuels as a left wing back. Like, there are things that he does that you're just like, last year in the finals as well, when he put Matusal in the midfield to end the game, and he was the guy who basically gave the assist to David Chouinard to score the winning goal. There are things that Bobby does that if you look at his track record, they're just like, why did he do that? But he's so meticulous. He's so involved in his team. And he's a guy, if he was to lead Canada, I think he'd put them in the right direction.
Yeah, Dom Samuel getting substituted in pretty early on.
For Kwesi Poku, literally opposites.
Yeah.
Kwesi goes forward, great sweet left foot. Dom Samuels is right-footed and is just a love lockdown defender. Like, you just don't get by him.
But he almost scored.
Which is crazy, right? And they have it in Tim Hortons Field. If Dom scores, we riot.
We riot.
Because like he's a day one. I think he's like fourth in appearance for the CPL, how many performances he's had, but just hasn't scored. But just a diehard guy. But Bobby Smyrnionis has guys like that that he knows he can rely on and has made champions. So for me, it would be an easy decision if it was time to appoint a manager.
And I like, it's true, because you really did get the sense that Forge was sticking to their guns, with the exception of, you know, a couple of those changes there, because Cavalry did have the better of the 90 minutes. They were
did.
Putting the pressure on, and it just seemed like every time they moved forward, there were just like every single orange shirt possible was in the box. Having said that, Tristan Henry still had to come up with some pretty incredible saves to keep his team in it. But they really were just locking it down. They were like, we're going to play this game. We're going to be patient about it. But someone who was all over the field too, doesn't matter that, you know, he's getting a little bit long in the whiskers, but Kyle Becker, the captain, was all over that pitch. And of course, he's the first to get the North Star Cup, and rightfully so, and raises it. But where do you think his next step is?
I mean, as a fan of Kyle and as a fan of midfielders who dictate the play in the Canadian Premier League and just in football, I want him to go and do another season and try to go for a three-peat. But you get to a point when you're 33, like what's next, or when is it time? I think Kyle, again, just knowing him a little bit, also when you have family to think about, a kid, you just start thinking differently. I know that was just the case for me. As soon as I saw my little babouche, like, footy was still the love of my life, but there were just other things that you just start to think about. I want Forge to go out and do a three-peat. Obviously, I want that core to stay together, and we'll hear from Tristan Borges in a bit, but I'm sure he has a lot of love and respect for the man who wears number 10 for Forge. And he's just the one to keep their team tick. They've been in second or third gear throughout the whole season, but he's been in top gear. He's been the one literally dragging them in moments like, hey, guys, let's do that. And Kyle Becker has always been a talent, but that leadership quality that he's added, that was just a complete package to his game and as a person. So I hope he continues. But when you look at the emotions of the night, you look at Bobby nearly crying.
That's why I'm asking these questions.
You look at Kyle Becker, like that moment, I'm just like, my mind starts to think about a few months from now. I'm just like, was that the last time? Like, is Bobby moving on? Who's coming in? These are just questions we have, and we'll find out in a little bit what the answers are, but I hope not, to answer your question.
Well, right now, we're going to let them enjoy the North Star Cup. We're going to let them enjoy the celebrations. But I ask these questions, too, because we were kind of getting the sense from a lot of people within the Forge organization that maybe things would have to change for next year, simply because this is a team that didn't have a good regular season. Right. Even though they finished second, it's so crazy to think, but it wasn't their strongest. They had the least amount of turnover as well in the last few years. So you wonder if that's something they're going to do, if it's time for that. On the flip side, Cavalry could come back with a pretty similar looking team. I think Ali Moussi, Meyer Bevin, they're still under contract. Dan Klomp, though, I think has an option year. So you wonder if he's going to get a bump in his pay, and rightfully so. He walked away with Defender of the Year, Player of the Year. This was a guy who was great for them all season long. But this is where I just, you know, you look at Cavalry and just how they must be feeling, because I think KJ even said it on our pregame show. He's like, if not now, win. Get a dominant regular season. If they can't beat Forge now, if they can't win the league title now, like, when? This has got to sting.
It stings. It does. One, because we said in the beginning of the year, I said specifically, if Ali Moussi shows up big in big moments with the unit that they have, and I mean defenders, midfielders, like attackers, like they have depth within the squad, I said they will win. So they won the regular season, they won the Canadian Premier League Shield, and then you're looking, the North Star Cup, do the double, be the first team to do it. And they literally didn't come out and drop the ball. They didn't. Calvary played their football. They played their brand. Moussi stepped up in the biggest moment possible. Now, my one little thing that I mentioned post game is just like taking him off, but maybe he was cramping, he was tired, and then maybe went a bit too defensive. But these are things you look at as hindsight is 20/20, right? I think you score an extra time, you protect what you have if you're Tommy Wheeldon Jr. But this was still a great team that took care of details that were great. They finished 13 points ahead of Forge. Like they won the league by a landslide and then showed up and showed out in playoffs. And did well in the final. This one stings. This one hurts. I just hope it doesn't take away from how they feel, Calvary, in terms of their season. Because the 13-point lead in the Canadian Premier League Shield, that is huge. But then also you did solidify your CONCACAF Champions Cup place. Yes, it hurts. I know the double is like what they would want. But like now it's going to sting for a few weeks. But you have to be like, you know what? We've made progress. Before, Calgary was a team, whenever it came to the line, whether it be at the end of the season or in playoffs, they dropped the ball. But they didn't drop the ball in the season. They just got outplayed in a moment in a finals where this could have been the time for them to do and win the double.
And sometimes another team just has your number. And I'm sure, you know, the day Cavalry goes on and wins this league title, they'd like to take care of business against Forge. But sometimes that team that has your number just needs to get out of the way. Like I think of, if I were to look at hockey, the Washington Capitals could never get past the Pittsburgh Penguins. Someone else took care of the Pens. Washington goes on. Ovi finally gets his Stanley Cup. I think of the Toronto Raptors. They could never get past LeBron James and the Cavs. Then finally someone else, you know, took care of business and they weren't in their way. LeBron James wasn't in their way. That's the year the Raptors go on and win. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like,
can I bring one
Forge
more?
Just needs to get out of the way for Cavalry.
But this happens with many dynasties. Chicago Bulls, Detroit, but like this happens, Detroit Pistons, this happens where like there's a team you just can't get the better of. But when you finally do, it's like, rejuvenation. Calvary fans, a lot of people, Christian Jack did, Gareth Wheeler, a lot of people felt like this weekend was a weekend because you're looking at this Calvary side and they had more than enough to do it. Their attitude was in the right place. They had belief within the squad. But then there's just that little sparkle of Forge that just reigns supreme on the day.
So here's a topic that's kind of going around, or you know, that's being debated. And it's debated across every a league that has a dynasty, right? And the question always is this good? Forge winning four of the five titles. Is this good for business? Is this good for the league? Some people say, well, no, because there's no parity. There are people there who love their parity, and it's like, well, what's the point? You're always going to have one team winning. Other people are like, no, you love dynasties because you also love a villain. To your point, next year, somebody, if they go out and beat them, like this is the greatest story ever. And then maybe something else ends up happening, right? Maybe there's another dynasty, or it could be 3, 4, 5 years where it's a different winner. I don't know. I don't know where you are on if this is good for the league.
Well, I'll say just, I guess, three names that come to my mind. The last one pains me, but Ajax, Bayern Munich, old school, couple decades ago, Manchester United. Like that's how dynasties are built. There's a team that just shows up when needed, right? And are winning trophies. And I think if you're a Forge player, what they're doing, 4 out of 5, but 5 finals, back to back twice, like this is not everyday stuff. So I like it. I think if you're just watching the big games in the Canadian Premier League, it seems like it's Forge. Atletico Ottawa won the regular season last season, right? Didn't even make playoffs this year. Like Halifax, abysmal. Don't kill me, Wanderers. Last season. This season, we're the second best team for me in stats, but the way they play their football.
Oh, the regular season's drama.
So, like, yeah, there's parity all over. But what needs to be better is that final product in the end. And Forge have that number. But I think a big part of that is Bobby Smyrnionis and the army he created and the way that he relies on his troops in time of need, in the last battle. So I love this league. I love the way it's growing. But yes, I don't think it's a bad thing that Forge FC are always taking the cake at the end. I think someone just needs to knock them off the hill.
And I think it's also worth mentioning that as the league continues to grow, Commissioner Mark Noonan, you know, did his end of season press conference and said he'd already signed 16 NDAs of groups that are interested in starting teams. Yes, next year it'll be 8. Also said within the next month, we should be hearing about new ownership with York United. So you also have to believe that as this league grows, as more teams come, the playoff structure is also going to change. And it's also going to be probably a lot longer and a lot harder to get through.
Yeah.
So things will inevitably change. You go back to the beginning of any league. the original six. It's always the Leafs,
yeah.
Montreal, right? And then once it starts to expand, it becomes completely different. So, yeah, I mean, I like the story around Forge. I really do. But I am looking forward to the day where it doesn't feel so certain that one team's always going to get it done in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. I feel like that was literally a few hours ago, Andy. I think so. Like, when we look at it, this was probably the day where Calgary felt like they could have done it. I think they were favorites. And then Forge just did what Forge does.
Let's talk more about that final, shall we? Joining us now on One Nation, the man of the moment, the hero of the game, gets the winner to give Forge their fourth title. That's Tristan Borges. That's who we're talking about joining us on the show right now. How you doing? You're standing on 2 feet. You're walking in a straight line.
He's sitting.
I feel good.
Need to sit, man.
He's like, I'm not going to be standing. The last 48 hours have probably been a ton of fun. But before we get into that, and maybe you can share some celebration stories, I do want to go back to that moment because you were right in front of us. Our set was right there. We watched the whole thing live and in color. But I'm always curious about Olympicos because I always want to know, is that what you're trying to do or were you aiming for somebody's head? I mean, just take us to that moment where you stepped up, what you were thinking and how it all ended for you.
A lot of emotions, obviously. It was, you know, we obviously had a game plan. Game plan was just, you know, at a time like that, especially, it's just about putting the ball on goal, on frame, and just knowing that he likes to go a little bit near post. So trying to see if I could try to get a back post, but the main objective was just putting it on goal and trying to see what happens.
So wait, so this was intentional, Olympico intentional?
Yeah.
There's some mixed reviews because KJ asked you and you said, of course it was. And I think the commissioner told me that you're a bit like, ooh, I don't know. You weren't really giving us a fair answer. But looking at your body and looking at the way that when you struck it and how like confident you look when you struck it, I'm like, he meant this. And those left footers, Andy, like when they curve a ball, it just comes at a different angle, right? And you see Beck's trying to take left foot corners, and obviously he's probably the best both footed player in the Canadian Premier League.
Thanks.
But the way that you hit that, I was like, yeah, that looked on purpose, man. But talk to us a bit about, obviously you're trailing, and this is what the emotion came from in the game. Ali Moussi scored in the 101st minute. To 1-0 away, and you could hear a pin drop in the stadium for the most part. There was just that one section where the Calgary players were going crazy. But how did you feel personally? Because you're a 68th minute sub, you came on. What did you feel as soon as you saw Moussi? Because that was a great finish from him as well.
Yeah, I mean, great players, you know, make, you know, perform in big moments, right, like that. So I think obviously everybody can see he's a great player as well. Great goal. Honestly, I would say there's a feeling when you have a team that is resilient and you feel the energy the way we felt it. It was just more of we knew we were going to get a goal. We've been in moments like this, I think, obviously more than everyone else. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's if you have that confidence throughout the whole team, if it's running in everybody's veins, I think everybody has that energy where it's, you know, you just keep going. Obviously, it's a critical goal and a critical moment. But, you know, being able to play at home, you use that energy from the fans, which was important to us. And it's us just staying engaged. Obviously, that was kind of a moment where we knew we just had to keep going. I think throughout the whole game, it was a little bit conservative. I think that was a moment where we kind of just let loose. And like I said, I think when you have a team like we have and, you know, an identity that we have of just, you know, winning and performing in big games, I think that really just goes through everybody's veins and everybody feels it. And I think it just makes it a little bit easier to just stay calm in moments like that and just have that confidence knowing that, you know, we're going to get a goal.
There is that saying, act like you've been there before, and you really got that sense from Forge, even when you went that goal down in extra time. There were no slumping of the shoulders. There was, you could feel it, right? This belief that you could get back in it, and obviously you did. How special was it to also be able to celebrate on home field, again, never been done before, somebody winning the title at home? What was that, you know, feeling like compared to ones past where, you know, you won on the road?
Yeah, every championship is obviously special, but we say this a lot that, you know, we have the best fans in the league. And I think that just speaks for itself, the crowd that we had in that game. And, you know, me individually, just knowing what I've been putting in myself, you know, for the city of Hamilton, all these years that I played here, this is for sure something that they deserve. It left a little bit of a bitter taste the last time we played in the finals and weren't able to, you know, get the trophy. But, you know, it's a lot of emotions, I think, running through everybody's minds. Everybody has a lot of different feelings towards it, you know, excitement, shock. And for us, it's just, you know, it's a big moment, but, you know, big teams play in big moments and we love moments like that. And, you know, we always tend to come out on top, and it's a great feeling, another year, another trophy. So it just seems like we keep saying this every single year, but how tough it is to get in, you know, another moment like that and, you know, to perform like how we did. And it's something that's written in the books. Like, these are things that, you know, you would dream of. And obviously it was a special moment for myself, but just what it meant to the city of Hamilton is something special, and I'm proud to, you know, to be a part of it.
Justin, this is my last one for me, last question, but this is why we love finals, because you see different views, right? Your Olympico is right in front of us, but I didn't get to see until later on that evening Bobby's reaction to your goal. Now, look, obviously he's the coach. He knows that you guys are going to go up 2-1, so he's ecstatic, but there was a different bit of glimmer in his eye, like almost like a father, like proud of his son. Just talk to us about that relationship, what Bobby means to you. I know that he's like a philosopher and you can go deep into his tactics all the time, but just talk to us more about the human side and what that relationship has been, because obviously it's been a season for you as well. This is the highest of highs, but there are some lows. But just talk about Bobby just being steadfast and believing in you the whole time.
Yeah, I think, as you said, it's been a little bit of a tough season for myself, but anybody that gets to be around coach, I would honestly say it's the simple feeling of, it's just a winning mentality, right? And obviously every coach has their own way of doing it. And I've been lucky enough to obviously be a part of what we've been able to do here at Forge. And, you know, at the end of the day, each player is going to have their own individual thoughts of, you know, whether they should be playing or whether they shouldn't or anything like that. And for me, at the end of the day, as important as that is for myself, it's knowing that, you know, I've been here for this amount of years and, you know, we've been winning. So obviously he's doing something right. Right. So it's something that's very motivating, obviously, you know, just to be a part of an organization and to have a coach like him, that at the end of the day, it's all about winning. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs that you go through throughout all the year, but he's very steady throughout the whole year, just about not getting too high, not getting too low, and understanding that it's all about playoffs. It's all about, you know, when the games are big, it's about performing in games like those. And like I said, I think anybody that, you know, leaves the team or comes into the team, I think that's the number one thing that they always say, especially when it comes to coach, is that everything is always revolving around having that winning mentality. And at the end of the day, these years, you know, it speaks for itself, right? 5 years, 5 finals, 4 trophies, like, that's remarkable, right? And obviously it's kudos to the players and everything, but it's obviously, you know, kudos to the coach as well. So I think it's tough to really, you know, say so many different things, because people will always have their own opinions or people will have their own things to say about different things. But at the end of the day, it's, for me, the most important thing is, and I think that's why at the end of the day, me and him will have a good relationship, is just because it's always about winning and whatever it takes to win. So. Mm.
Yeah, love that winning mentality, and clearly it shows with Forge. Before we let you go here, we know the North Star Cup was unveiled. That's obviously what you won. That's the new trophy now for the final winner. Do you know, and I'm curious if it's been shared at all, if you guys, if you do NHL style, do you get a day with the cup?
We're going to figure that out this
week. Okay. I figured you would, because I'm like, I know that the league's going, it's always figuring out what it's going to do. But here we go. Before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you get a day with the cup, what are you doing with it?
Oh, that's tough. I might honestly just run it through the day routine of my game days. Just simple. Just, I'll probably have a meal with it, put it right beside me while I have my meal, chill out, which is basically what I do on days off, and just enjoy it. Honestly, for me, it's, anybody that knows me, I don't want to get too ahead. I don't want to, you know, get too low or anything like that. It's just about trying to enjoy the moment and, you know, just understanding obviously what just happened. I'm very proud of myself for it too. But for me, I like to just chill out and relax. So if I was able to chill out on the couch with it. Also, anybody that knows me, I love American football as well. So a little football Sunday, it chills with me on the side, and I would have a nice day like that.
You're going to put a jersey on it? Who do you cheer for?
I'm a big Denver Broncos fan. Look, it's not the best year, but good weekend.
There's an Eagles fan to my left.
All right, we're gonna see the North Star Cup wearing some NFL jersey as well. Well, congratulations. Incredible goal, incredible moment, incredible win. You deserve it. And enjoy it's going to be a short off season because obviously with winning that and already just making it to the final, you're going to CONCACAF Champions Cup. So enjoy the off season and good luck in that tournament too.
Well done, Tristan.
Thank you. If I could just say one thing, if you guys are okay with that.
Of course.
I just want to give a big shout out to the team, like the team that we have. You know, this is something that I say 10 years, 15 years down the line, you're going to look at what we've been able to do. The team that we have every single year, the players that have been here for the years that obviously we've been as successful. It's crazy. It's remarkable. You know, a lot of praise and everything needs to go, especially to our captain, being able to go through the ups and downs of all of these years, have players come in, have players leave, whatever it is. It's special. Have players step in big moments and perform. It's crazy. And I think, you know, the praise really needs to go to the team that we have, the players that we have, and it's something special, and the city of Hamilton deserved it. So there you go.
Well said, Tristan. Thanks for taking the time, my friend.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
So great having Tristan on. And I don't know, we talked about at the top of the show where I asked you what you thought was happening with Kyle Becker, and then Tristan kind of went out of his way to like give shout outs to his teammates to talk about Kyle Becker.
Well, I think he just understands that the team will shake a bit. Inevitably, it will shake.
I like to read between the lines.
Oh, you know it.
Start some stories. Either way, congratulations to Forge. Incredible season, incredible final. Congratulations to Cavalry, regular season winners. I mean, consistent through 28 games, and that was a fight in the final. It gave us everything and some. Let's play a game that is completely unique.
I love games.
This is a groundbreaking new game that is not similar to any other game that we've ever played on this show or anywhere on the network. And it has such an original name too. You ready? This is a game called Trick or Treat.
Are you bringing candy though?
I don't know why I'm so happy with my intro.
Like the game's called Trick or Treat.
That was a knee slapper? That's a knee slapper right there. So obviously, trick, you don't agree with the statement.
Okay.
Treat, you do.
Sounds simple enough.
Right? So here we go. You ready for it?
Okay.
As I mentioned, we had the national team. It was a friendly Canada-Brazil. The Canadians lose to Brazil's 95th minute goal. It was a late one. So Brazil loss proves that Jessie Fleming is irreplaceable for Canada. She came out in the 22nd minute, I believe.
Treat, but we got to use her properly. Higher role, able to dictate the tempo of the game, not playing where she played on the weekend.
I completely agree with that. Treat. Jessie Fleming in that lineup at all cost.
Trick or treat? Can I ask you this one?
Uh-huh.
Christine Sinclair starts in Halifax on Tuesday.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go trick only because as much as Christine Sinclair, this is the farewell tour and she has to get in. She got in the 68th minute in that game in Montreal. The fact that that game did go so poorly for Canada, right, because Brazil really dominated, just goes to show how much work this team still has to do in Bev figuring out her formation, her tactics before the Olympics. And we know Christine's not going.
Good point, Andy. So,
there we go.
Very good point.
Did you want to?
No, this is you.
Trick or treat. The Whitecaps are toast after a heavy game one loss to LAFC in a best of three series 5-2 final.
Treat. It sounds bad to say. Yeah, they're not. LA are too good.
I know. They've taken care of LA before. I'm going to go trick on that one.
Really?
It's a best of three. Start from scratch. In playoffs, momentum doesn't carry over. Clean slate, baby.
I'd put money on this, but it's fine. Trick or treat, eating or drinking out of the North Star Cup.
How about I don't want to.
I'm scornful, so I'm not doing. You see what I did there?
Yeah, that was a word we were debating on the.
See what I did there?
I don't like your interpretation. Anyways, I'm going to go. I'm just going to go trick. I don't like it. I don't know.
I
don't trust what's in there.
I don't like it.
Trick or treat. 33 episodes.
30 what?
This is the 33rd episode of One Nation.
Whose number is 33?
That's me.
Look how excited she is.
This has been a treat doing this show with you. I know it's going to be back next year. We're not saying goodbye by any means, but we are going into the off season. So this is the final show of the year.
Yes.
And then we're going to go into One Soccer Today for most of the time.
All the times we've spent together. No, I wish I knew the lyrics. Now as our lives change, we'll remember.
This was a blast.
Trills, you're the best. One Nation. Love
One
you.
One Nation here on One Soccer. We're gonna still see you. We got stuff to do.